This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org. This is the fourth session of the Christian Missionary Fellowship International USA Convention in Boston, which is themed, Be Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Thank you to the brethren from Georgia for leading us to sing. We're going to move into the Word. But I'd like us to pray once again that our hearts will be open. Ask the Lord for yourself. Lord, please do not let me harden my heart. Do not let me harden my heart. We know for those of us who have been here for since the beginning, God has been speaking to us, and He's going to continue to be speaking. But our hearts must remain open, and we must not resist His word. Pray for yourself. Ask the Lord, Lord, please, let my heart be open. May I receive. May I be open. May I receive your word. May I not resist it. Let's pray. Father, I pray, oh God, that my heart will be open. That my heart will be open, oh God. I pray that my heart will not be hardened. That my heart will be soft, oh Lord. Sensitive, oh God. Father, give us sensitive consciences. Give us sensitive consciences this morning, oh God. Oh, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Now pray for those sitting around you. Ask the Lord that their hearts will be open, that none of them will, no one will harden their hearts against the Lord and against His word. Let's pray. Father, we pray, oh God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, our blessed Father. Lord, I pray for my brethren here. I pray for my brethren here. Oh, Lord.
Another thing that let us pray that will be true. The psalmist said that this is what you desire, truth in the inmost parts. That will be true when the word of God is speaking to us, that we will simply acknowledge that, Lord, you're speaking to me. It is me. That word is directed to me. Let's pray that we'll not try to hide, build excuses, or try to evade or escape from the conviction of the word. Let's pray that we'll be honest as the word comes forth to us. Pray for yourself and pray for those around you. Let's pray together.
Father, I pray that we'll be true, O Lord, this morning. Father, we pray that we'll be true, O God. That we'll be true, O God. That we'll acknowledge when you're speaking, O God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us the humility to face the facts. The humility to face the facts. Oh, Lord.
Let's pray for our speaker, Brother Zach. Let's ask the Lord to fill him, refresh him, and lead him to lead us as we go on. Let's pray.
Father, we pray, oh God, that you renew, Brother Zach, that you fill him, oh God. Refill him, oh God. Refresh him and lead him to lead us. Lead him to lead us, oh God.
Just before I hand it over to him, we
want to welcome our attendees from New York. Those are Brother Peter's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Majid, and his brother Jared. If you could please stand up. Please give them a clap of welcome. You're welcome. Glad to have you.
If Jesus Christ is a secondary interest, in fact, you will suffer more than an unbeliever. The Christian life can only be enjoyed by those who are wholly consecrated to Him. If you are in the center, self in the center, you have self in the center. And then you have Jesus there. Jesus. 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 You have Jesus there to help self to succeed. Jesus is there so that Jesus serves your selfish interests. And then Jesus is turning around you to ensure that everything goes well for you. You'll be very frustrated. And that's what many people think about the Christian life. Say, let Jesus come in and help you accomplish your own goals. Let Jesus come and bless you. Have all that you want. But that is not it. This is self-worship. It's great evil. Jesus comes in to be king. When Jesus Christ comes in, this whole picture is cancelled. Because this is idolatry, it's the worship of self. Jesus must take the center. And me moves to the periphery. So that Jesus commands. Jesus commands. Jesus commands. Jesus commands. Jesus commands. Jesus commands. And me is turning around to do the bidding of Jesus. if Jesus is not at the very center? So that everything is done to please him at all costs, you cannot be a Christian. Jesus will not take a position at the periphery to serve you, to enable you to carry out your selfish interests. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and let him follow me. I want to ask you a question. Are you in America for the glory of Jesus or for the glory of self? Are you in America for the glory of Jesus or for self-glory? You want to change your job. Is it so that Jesus may be glorified, or so that you should earn more money? Because Jesus may put you in a place where you earn less money, but so that his will is done. So to be moved by the dollar is an abomination. It is the worship of the dollar. Are your trips for the glory of Jesus or for self-glory? Are your investments for the glory of Jesus Christ or for self-glory? A Christian is someone who has consecrated himself to do only what Jesus wants him to do, and to do only what will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives for Jesus, thinks for Jesus, asks for Jesus, acts for Jesus, possesses for Jesus. He has renounced his own will in all things. He has renounced his own will in everything. Everything that is not done for Jesus is done for the devil.
any purchase that is not purchased for Jesus is purchased for self. The whole Christian life and things we miss totally. The disciples forsook everything to follow him. From the day he called them, they forsook everything to follow him. They asked only one question: what would please the Lord Jesus? It's not what advantage would I get out of it? What does Jesus want? In every situation, only one question: what does Jesus want? Not how do I feel? No. What does Jesus want? Not what do I like? No. What does Jesus want? It is this lifelong bonding to Jesus. In everything that constitutes the Christian walk. Excuse me, you have many plans. Are they for Jesus or for self? Are they at the command of Jesus or at the command of self? Are they for the glory of Jesus Christ or for the glory of self? That decisions are taken for any other purpose except to please Jesus. Is great evil. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Let him follow me. It is as, I think it was A.W. Tozer who said, the Christian is born crucified. He is crucified with Christ. He has said a final no to his will in all things. He has said a final no to his will in all things. He has said a final no to his interest in all things. He has said a final no to his thoughts in all things. He has said a final no to his desire in all things. He has said a final yes to Jesus in all things. What Jesus wants will be done at all costs. What Jesus does not want will not be done at all. when you start a project on your own initiative, for your own glory, and then you ask Jesus, come in and help me accomplish what I conceived. It's an abomination. Most prayers of believers are abominations. Lord, help me in this. Did he send you? Help me do this. Did he send you? Give me this. Does he want you to have it? The whole matter, what does it mean to be a Christian? A Christian is someone who has given the throne of his heart to Jesus forever. And ask only one question in everything. Lord, what do you want? A Christian is someone who has given the throne of his heart to Jesus forever. And ask only one question. Lord, what would you have me do? It's not what does my father want, what does my mother want, what does my employer want, what does this one want. Only one question. Lord, what will you have me do? And when he knows what Jesus will have him do, he will do it. Come sun, come rain. So this living of life without reference to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything is most unfortunate. If Jesus is the one who is stationing people in his service, he may want you to stay where the income is very low. So that you serve his interest there. Because that is his assigned post for you. His assigned task. If Jesus is Lord, then he's Lord of all or Lord of nothing. If Jesus is Lord, he's Lord of all or Lord of nothing. If Jesus is not Lord of your day 24 hours, he's Lord of nothing. If he's not Lord of your money 100%, he's Lord of nothing. My beloved, if the Lord is not Lord of your time, 24 hours every day, then he's Lord of nothing. If he's only Lord of your 10% and not Lord of your total income, he's not Lord at all. If it's such that when you give him 10%, you are now Lord of the 90%, you have missed it completely. If he's Lord, you are his slave. All that the slave owns belongs to the slave owner. 100%. Either he owns all or he owns nothing. I beg you to see this, brother. If he's not Lord of all, he's Lord of nothing. If he's not Lord of all, he's Lord of nothing. If he's only Lord of the 10% you give him, so that you are Lord of the 90%, then he's not your Lord. To be Lord, he must be Lord of all or Lord of nothing. Say it with me. If Jesus is to be Lord,
Jesus is to be Lord,
he must be Lord of all.
He must be Lord of all.
Or he's Lord of nothing. If my income does not belong to him 100%, then it doesn't belong to him at all. If my time does not belong to him 100%, no part of it can belong to him. To own anything that Jesus would not have owned, if you are in the world today, is great evil. In the light of the perishing souls of men, in the light of the perishing souls of men, that need money for their rescue, to own anything that Jesus would not have owned, is to disown him. To purchase what he would not have purchased. Is to disown him. To pursue what he would not have pursued. Is to disown him. The Holy Spirit cannot come and fill a life where he will not have absolute sway 24 hours every day forever. The Holy Spirit cannot fill a life where he will not have absolute sway in all things forever. To see Jesus, I will give you this part of my heart so that you occupy that part and I will have the rest. You do it with it the way I want. Jesus, occupy that part. It's to mock him. Or to see Jesus, I give you more. Occupy that much. But let me have this. To do with it the way I want is to mock him. To say, Lord, you occupy this part and let me decide with this part what I want, when I want, how I want, is to mock him. To say, Lord, I'll give you the greater portion. Occupy that and let me occupy this. It's to mock him. To say, Lord, take the vast majority. Allow me that. Is to mock him. To tell him, Lord, give me this tiny bit. Take the rest. Is to mock him. But when you think about it, it is a shock, the whole derailment from the real Christian life. It's as if the real Christian life, the real belonging to Christ, has been totally replaced by a tragic counterfeit. To say, Lord, I give you all except this little bit. It's to mock him. A man was selling a house. A man was selling a house. There was a nail. He was selling a house. He advertised it. A very beautiful, beautiful house with so many facilities. In the sitting room, there was a nail on one of the pillars. He said, I am selling this house. Everything in the yard and everything. Except this nail. In the sitting room. People came and saw the house. One man came and said, oh, what a beautiful house, beautiful rooms, beautiful yard. Everything was so fabulously beautiful. So I'll buy the house. He said, yes, I'm selling the house except this nail. This nail in the sitting room. So what is that? So I want this nail always to be mine. Sir, what's the nail? So they signed the deal. I sell this house except the nail on the pillar in the sitting room. And the other man said, I buy the house, the whole house, everything, except the nail on the pillar in the sitting room. And the lawyer signed it, and the deed was sealed and paid for. And this man and his family moved into the house and began to enjoy it because it was really great, beautiful. They began to enjoy it. Then one day, the former owner moved in and took a dead rat from his bag and put it on that nail and walked out. He said, what are you doing? He said, no, but the nail is mine. Don't I have freedom to do with my nail as I want? Look at the contract. The contract says that the entire house is sold except that nail. I've just used my nail. And he walked out. And the rat began to smell, rotting, and they were very uncomfortable. After a long time, the rat got dry and was smelling no more. So they began to enjoy the house again. They began to enjoy the house. Began to enjoy the house. Then one day the man entered again. This time with a big bag. And he removed a dead dog and hung on that nail. They said, what on earth are you doing? What on earth are you doing? He said, I've not touched your property. Does the contract not say that this nail is mine? Do I not have the freedom to do with my nail as I want? Why are you disturbing me? And he walked out. And the dog began to smell rotting. It was all over. They just packed out of the house. They packed out of the house. They abandoned the house. Then the house was empty. And the former, since it was empty, the former owner came back to his house. I want to tell you, if there's one spot that you have not surrendered to Jesus Christ, you don't belong to him. Because the devil will have that spot to do with it what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. If your money does not belong to Jesus Christ, 100%. If your time does not belong to Jesus Christ, 100%. If your life does not belong to Jesus Christ, 100%. You do not belong to him. You are counterfeit. The divided heart is an enemy heart. Jesus, self. Jesus, self. That's an abomination. It is not the salvation of God. In the salvation of God, Jesus has the whole person in everything, all the time, forever, or he has nothing. When a person comes to Christ, he renounces all his own ambitions forever. He renounces all his own ambitions forever. All his own tastes forever. All his own values forever. It is the renunciation of all forever. Or it is the renunciation of nothing. It's a tragedy. That there's been so much deception in the name of Jesus Christ. People so full of their own interests, so full of their own wills, so full of their own desires, and they say they belong to Jesus Christ. They do not belong to him. When Jesus Christ came from heaven, he renounced his own will in everything in order to serve the Father. In John chapter 12, verse 49. 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 The Lord Jesus Christ says, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." The Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. The Lord Jesus Christ put aside his own will about what to say. And the Lord Jesus Christ put aside his own will about how to say it. Both in what he was to say and how he was to say it. It was only the Father's will. Yet he was very God of very God. Yet his will was perfect. But as a sent one, he put aside all his will about what to say. And he put aside all his will about how to say it. Jesus Christ became the parrot of God. Just to say what the Father said. And to say it the way the Father wanted it said. That is what it means to be. That's what absolute surrender means. That is the Christian life. It is total abandon. Total abandonment to him in all things. It's not asking, what would I gain? What would be my benefit? Only lost men ask that. There's only one question, what is his will? If that will leads to prison, the person goes. If that will leads to death, the person goes. If that will leads to the cross, the person goes. So, this is a traitor. That's 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 a traitor. It is not possible for the Holy Spirit to fall upon this. No. 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 No.
He can only fall here where Christ will have, so that in his coming, the Lord Jesus Christ will have absolute sway. Could some people pray that light would dawn on their hearts? Spirit filled, it means he fills all. This is the word most abused in our generation. When someone speaks in tongues, they say he's filled with the Holy Spirit. If all the tongue speakers were spirit filled men, we'll have a different world. If 10% of the tongue speakers were spirit filled men, it would be a different world. How can he feel when there is something there that he does not want? In the European Convention we had last year, the convention died here. It collapsed. We had two wonderful days. On the third day, it demanded giving the heart to Jesus like that. And most of the brethren were not ready. Around the world, most of the brethren don't want that. They want to deceive themselves. Someone told me, I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because
means that my own interests are finished forever. I don't want that. It means my own plans are finished forever. I don't want that. It means my own desires are finished forever. I don't want that. But that is God's condition. That's God's way to fullness. That's why the rich young ruler could not make it. Sorry to pray.